word spoken here today to meet your approval. And Father, we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen for me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. What I would like for you to do is turn once again to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I will be reading the first verse. We started off here last week, and there's some other things I want to share with you. And once again, our subject is obedience. Oh, you can say being obedient children. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you to be obedient. Amen. Tell him now, God wants you to be obedient to his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Obedience to God is never a bad thing. It's always good. It's always good. So now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God. Now, if you have a King James Bible, I have the New King James, but if you have a King James Bible, it says, be followers of God. Amen. Same thing. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God, or be a follower of God as dear children. Now, it doesn't matter how old you are physically, your natural age. Doesn't matter how old you are. When it comes to God and the things of God, we need to take on a childlike mentality. Let me say it this way. When it comes to obeying God and doing what God tells us to do, I mean, yeah, that we are supposed to mature spiritually. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we don't need to remain in the babyhood stage of spiritual growth. We are supposed to mature spiritually. But when it comes to obedience and our relationship with God, we need to have a childlike attitude. In other words, we need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And not fight with him, not argue with him. God always knows best. Always, without exception. So we're told to be imitators of God. Now, we went to Matthew, and I won't go back there. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 through 38, if you want to write that down. I'm not going back there today. We were there last week. But the essence of it is we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. You know, we are to love God. And now, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. Chapter 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. It's important that we love God. Even though we can't see him with our natural eye, we are supposed to love him. Can I get another amen? Yeah, we're supposed to love him. Now, Jesus said this in John chapter, I told you 14, right? Okay, John chapter 14. Verse 15, listen to what Jesus says. If you love me, now let me stop right there after reading those four words. If you love me, wow. If you love me. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to move up, matter of fact, move over one chapter. Chapter 15. Go to chapter 15. And I'll begin reading at verse 9. And again, Jesus is teaching. Jesus says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." You see that? Abide in my love. Or you could say, dwell in my love. Or you might want to say, one version says, remain in my love. Let me read it to you again. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. In other words, we are supposed to take up residence in the love of God. Make a decision that I'm going to dwell in the love of God, and I'm not moving away from the love of God. I will make a decision that I will never lose sight of the fact that God loves me. Now, you see, that's important. What I'm telling you right now is very important, and we'll dig into it a little bit deeper. But it's important for you to know that God loves you. Now, I understand sometimes people try to folks try to take advantage of everything. You know, well, you know, God loves me, so I can do anything I want to, and when I want to, how I want to, and how long I want to, because God loves me. Well, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to get yourself in trouble. But I want you to understand God loves you. Why don't you tell yourself out loud, don't whisper, just tell yourself, God loves me. Come on, say it again.
God loves me.
Say it so you can hear yourself saying it.
God loves me.
Don't you ever forget that.
Amen.
I don't care how bad you've been. God still loves you. Hallelujah. And we talked about this some last Sunday. I won't deal with it as much as I did last Sunday, but I will say this much. I'll touch on it later on. But now, listen to this. Look at I'm going to read verse 9 again, and then we read on into verse 10. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now listen to this. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, the Lord just reminded me of something. So I want to go back to verse 9 just a moment. I need to go back just a moment. Let me read it to you again. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. I want you to understand something. When a person, and let's talk about a believer, born-again believer. When a born-again believer is in a state of disobedience to God, They know they're disobeying God. They know that God told them to do certain things and they're not doing it. Or they know what the Word of God says about certain situations and they choose to do otherwise. That's a very dangerous place to be, because what can happen is you can get out over there to where you forget that God loves you. And Peter warned about this in 2 Peter. You can forget or lose sight of the fact that God loves you. And you can get yourself in a state to where you don't even know if you're saved or not. Are you still listening to me? Because remember Jonah? God said, told Jonah to go to Nineveh, didn't he? Preach the gospel to the Ninevites. Jonah didn't want to go, but God told him to go. Now, what happened to Jonah? You know the story. He was swallowed by a big fish, probably a whale, but I think the Bible says a big fish. Jonah got himself in trouble. Now think about it, being in the belly of a big fish, pitch black, dark, stinking. You know it stink. But Jonah realized in a hurry that I better get my act together or I'm going to become fish food. Thank God his digestive system hadn't kicked in yet. Jonah repented. The fish threw him up. Some folks say upchucked him. Threw him up. And Jonah went and preached the gospel in Nineveh. He did what God told him to do. What am I saying? When we make a decision, make a choice to live in disobedience to God, it can take us places we don't want to be. It will cause us to have to deal with things that we normally wouldn't have to deal with. All because, now, some folk would say, well, you know, God is punishing you. God is punishing you. No, you're getting your own self in trouble. We don't ever want to walk out of God's wall of protection. Are y'all still here?
Amen.
Or God's hedge. We can say it this way. God's hedge of protection. I want to remain in God's hedge of protection. I want to remain obedient.
Amen.
To what he's telling me to do. Obedient to the word of God. Well, the Bible tells us to him that know to do what's right and don't do it, to him it is what? Well, that's what the Bible tells us. Amen. So let's take on an attitude that we're going to obey God, but we're not going to get out there somewhere where we're confused and now we don't know if we're saved or not. And let me tell you this, that's how some people, hear me good, that's how some people wind up in cults. Simply because they have drifted away from the Lord and someone, and now they're in a state that I just don't know what's right and what's wrong. I'm confused. Why did this happen to me? Why did the Lord let this happen to me? And they forget that they need to repent and get some things right, but they blame it on God. Too many people right now walking around mad at God. Can I help you with something? You can write this down if you would like. There is never, ever, ever, ever a reason to be mad at God. Ever. Man, we just finished singing about it. We just finished praising the Lord. The fact that God is good. He's always good to us. But it's those distractions that we deal with in life that gets us over there and it gets us in trouble. Remember the guy we call the prodigal son? Took his goods. He went and partied. Did it work out well for him? No, it did not. But when he came back to his father, guess what? His father received him back. His father received him back. Praise God. So that's the reason that we must abide in the love of the Lord. Abide in the love of the Lord. Abide in the love of the Lord. Amen. All right, are you still here?
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, let's look at verse 11. Jesus is still teaching here. He said, listen now. Well, I want to read 9, 10, and 11 together, so let's do that. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's keeping his commandments, doing what he tells you to do, doing what the word says. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that what? Finish it. Say what? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Glory to God. It is rewarding. It is joy. It's peace. When we make a decision that I'm going to live my life in obedience to God, to the best of my ability, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to walk out his word in my life. Aren't you glad that he sent us a helper? See, God tells us what to do, and then he sent us someone to help us do it. We don't ever have to say, Lord, I hear what you said, but I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. Through him. Through him. Through him. Through him. That's the reason the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things, not by myself, but through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. See, Paul understood victory. He understood how to be an overcomer. It had to be through Christ. So whatever the Word of God tells me to do, whatever God tells me to do, I can do it. It don't matter to me what any of you have done. And I pray no one has. But if you've talked bad about me, you know what? Can I go ahead and let you know right now? I love you. I can do that. And I choose to do that. Now, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not accusing anybody of saying anything bad about me. Yeah, because y'all say good things about me. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. But my point is, my love for you is not going to be measured by what you do or don't do. Because the chief shepherd of the church said, love your neighbor. You love everyone. Because he says, you just love them. You pray for them. You treat them right. And I'll take care of everything else in due time. Hallelujah. There should never be a fist fight in church. But there have been in some churches. Thank God not this one. And I say in the name of Jesus, it's not going to be either. Amen. Praise God. When we get over into the area of disobedience, then we begin to lose our joy. And now we begin to find fault with everybody because we're miserable. And some of our fellow brothers or sisters, they're happy. And we think, they're happy. Why am I not happy? So now we're ready to cut them down and speak evil of them, speak bad about them. Because what's happened? We've lost our joy. The Word of God tells us, don't you ever forget this, the Word of God tells us it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm determined I'm not going to lose my joy. I'm not going to allow any person or any situation to cause me to lose my joy. There's a song that we used to sing years ago in the church. And it goes like this. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. It comes from the Lord. Amen. But now here, let me say this about that. The world can't take it away unless you allow them to take it away. You can open the door for it. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus has provided for us everything we need? Y'all still here?
Yeah.
Say this. I want you to hear yourself say, Jesus has provided for me, everything,
everything
I need.
I need.
Glory to God. Everything I need, He's already provided. Hallelujah. So I can walk and live in the joy of the Lord. So I'm not moved or anything by what other people do. It's what Jesus did that affects my life. Now that you have to make a decision there. That has to be a decision on your part. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. While we're in on 15, let me read just a little bit more. Let's take a look at verse 12. Now, Jesus is still teaching here. He said, "This is my commandment." You see that? You know, notice what it doesn't say? This is an option. No, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have what? Loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Listen to what Jesus said. "You are my friends if you do whatever I would suggest." Huh? "Whatever I command." He said, "You are my friend if you do whatever I command." Now drop down to verse 17. "These things I command you, that you love one another." My goodness, folks, listen to me. And I know you hear me talk about it a lot, and I hope you don't get tired of it. And maybe to you it's not a shouting message and that sort of thing, but you got to get it. You got to get it. And I've got to give an account to God for what I teach you and what I preach to you. And listen to me. That's the reason I drill this thing. That's the reason I preach about it as often as I do, because it's all over the Bible, especially the New Testament, where Jesus says, and the Word of God, the apostles, tell us over and over and over, love one another. And Jesus said, "That's my command to you." Now, you ever thought for a moment the reason that Jesus had to keep pounding this, and the apostles later on, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, kept pounding it, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another, because God knows human nature. In a split second, you're upset. You're upset. I've seen folks that been friends for years, but one make one little small mistake and 10, 15 years of friendship down the tube. Think about us. It don't take much. It don't take much. Sometimes all we have to do is look at one another the wrong way. Let me talk about me, since I'm the pastor here. Sometimes, and of course, I know this is not you folks. Say amen. Say this is not you folks. But sometimes all it takes is for the pastor not to shake your hand or not to speak to you one Sunday morning. And now, say, not me. But now some folks, they're upset. I know he saw me standing there. He had to see me reach out my hand. Now, they didn't notice the 10 other people that were surrounding him. And they leave offended. And they okay, but they offended. You know, just a little something right down in here, but they're okay. But what happened? They go home and they maybe around the dinner table or whatever, and just happen to mention it. You know, I just don't know what's wrong with Pastor today. I brushed right by him, and actually I extended my hand to him, and he didn't even acknowledge me. And the person across the table says, "Oh, really? How dare him? Who do he think he is?" I mean, he got to understand, I give my tithe there. Now the person across the table, the offended one hadn't quite got that far, but the person across the table said, "Well, you know, if I was you, I think I would consider going somewhere else. Why don't you come on down to my church?" My pastor shake my hand every service. Well, you know what? You got a point there. Now that I've had some time to think about it, I think I'm going to leave. Because he didn't shake my hand. He didn't tell me how pretty my baby is. Come on, we're talking about human nature. And we're talking about Christians right now. Jesus understood human nature. That's the reason the Bible says he wouldn't commit himself to man, because he understood what was in man. Man will tell you how great you are today, but as soon as you slip a tenth of an inch, man, they turning on you. That's human nature. And we have to keep that under. We have to stay in control. Are you still here? And so the Word of God tells us, love one another, love one another, love one another. And by the way, loving one another is more than just saying, "I love you." I remember years ago, long time ago, I wasn't even pastoring then. I was in a meeting, and some folks were shaking hands, and this little lady came by, and I spoke to her and extended my hand to her, because we were all shaking hands with one another. She looked at me for a moment, and then she says, "I love you with the love of the Lord." I thought to myself, what does that mean? I kind of, now don't get me wrong, I didn't get offended, I could have, but I thought, she's saying, "I really don't love you, but I do love you with the love of the Lord. If it wasn't for the Lord, I'd hate your guts." Jesus wants us to be real in our love walk. We got to stop being so sensitive, because when we're sensitive to natural things, we become insensitive to the Spirit of God. You hear me? Y'all need to grab a hold of that. When we are sensitive to outside things, when I'm so sensitive, and this is a sweet sister right here. Usually I get, Brother Rick got picked on last week. Y'all sitting there, y'all get picked on this week. But you know, both of y'all are great people, and I mean that. I thank God for each and every one of you. But you know, if you did something and now I'm upset at you, guess what? I'm so focused on what you did or didn't do, now I'm not hearing God. I'm not hearing God. Because I'm out of position. You know, sometimes in a football game, when the quarterback gets the ball and they've already huddled, And everybody know where they're supposed to be. The receivers know where they're supposed to be to get the ball. They know already where the quarterback is going to throw the ball. But guess what? If the designated receiver is out of position, the ball is just going to go sailing. Or it may get intercepted. Because the receiver was out of position. We want to make sure that we're not never out of position. When if I could use this analogy, when God throw us the ball. Wouldn't it be sad? You know, we're all mad and upset at somebody, been out of shape, and we walking down the street, and we meet a person, and we may or may not speak because we have something else on our mind. And what we don't realize is God sent that person because he wanted us to minister to that person, or he may have wanted us to give that person something, but now we're out of position. We're out of position. And we miss an opportunity. Come on, y'all. Amen. We don't want to do that. I don't want to miss God in anything. Now I'll be the first to tell you, I've been saved a long time. Amen. Where's my daughter? There she is. I've been saved since 1969. That's a little inside thing between the two of us. But I've been saved a long time. And I regret, have to say, yeah, I've missed God a few times. We all have. But you know what? If you're still missing it, now as much as you did 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 10 years ago, you need to make some serious adjustments. Because, and I gotta quit here. Listen, you have to understand the reason we are on this earth is to bring pleasure to our Lord through our acts of obedience and our walk of love. Praise the name of the Lord. And so as I get ready to close, this is what I want to leave with you. This is what the Spirit of the Lord's been dealing with me about is, I want my people, this is God, I want my people to become more sensitive to my word and to my spirit, and less sensitive to the things out here. Not moved by the things out here. Not moved by what people do or don't do. Not moved by what people say or don't say. But be tuned in to the Holy Spirit. Do you know that's what Jesus did? He was tuned in to, he says, listen to what he said, I abide in my Father's love. I abide in my Father's love. I dwell in my Father's love, and I keep my Father's commandments. Why? Because I can hear my Father. When my Father speaks, I hear him because I am in a position to hear him. Whatever these folks are doing out here that I'm preaching to does not affect my relationship with my Father. What folks are doing around me is not a distraction to me because I'm abiding in my Father's love. So I say what I hear my Father say. I do what I see my Father do, because I'm abiding in his love and I keep his commandments. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. That's where he's calling us, my brother, my sister. So let's get rid of the little distractions, the things that interfere with our moving forward in the things of God, that interfere with our hearing our Father speak. God's calling us, and only we can do it, but God's calling us to deal with those things and grow to a place where, listen, folk can say what they want to say. I make a choice that I'm not going to take offense over it. I'll just pray for them. And if they need a glass of water, I give them a glass of water. And I won't spit in it either. I give them a glass of water. Because I'm connected to my Father. I'm connected to my Father. Why do you think the Bible tells us not to be carnal-minded? Because carnal-mindedness is death, but spiritual-mindedness is life. Hallelujah. Did you grab a hold of that? Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah.